And we're in the midst of studying on Wednesday night why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, or sad, and why they do not need to. Let's begin with a word of prayer. I think all of you said, maybe Jim, you didn't get to meet Nancy behind you. She's a taper from Maine, and she's over at the American Airlines seeing about interview for job. Her sister is a full colonel in the Air Force, and she is in a position over pilots, and she's right in the area of where all of the turmoil is. And Susan, what's the last name? Okay, let's be in prayer, and we're going to put her on our prayer list, and be in prayer for her. Let her know that we're in prayer. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. We now move into, we've been studying the fortresses of the soul that are to be taken down by the Holy Spirit, and these fortresses are inside of us. Now tonight we're going to start looking at what these fortresses are. And so let's prepare ourselves in prayer, orienting ourselves to the study of the Scriptures. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, that you have worked all things out in the total plan of history, and we are in awe as we study the book of Revelation. But in living our lives day in and day out, Heavenly Father, we find out what kind of God you are on a personal basis, and how you care about us personally, individually. And you do not want to see any Christian experience stress, anxiety, and depression in their life. And you have provided all things necessary that we can actually live a life free of these things, these conditions in the soul. And all we have to do is trust you. I pray, Father, that tonight that your Spirit will give me the words, the simplicity of understanding our part in this spiritual warfare, and what we're to do in our part. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And I remind you, we'll just read it, but we have well documented now and dealt with the two prepositions, and the prepositions are very important. In verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, and so we're in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, now we move from that, and I just want to remind you, something we've not noticed. I've not let you see this, or we've not seen this before. At this point, we need to look at something. Before we move to verse 5, we've seen how Paul just jumped to a war. We've seen how Paul just jumped to the war. An invisible, spiritual war that we're all in, and it is real. It's a real war. But what I'd like you to do is look with me here. Look at how the Holy Spirit views our part in this warfare. Look at how God the Holy Spirit views our part. Now, we're in a war. Our part is not to fight Satan. Our part is not taking on the world. Our part is not cleaning up the world. Remember Peter? They came to get the Lord and drew his sword. And Christians, a lot of Christians want to fight the world. They want to fight the wrong and the evils and all of this type of thing. It's not what we're to do. I want you to look at what our part of the war is. The destruction of fortresses inside of us. In verse 4, in verse 3, war. Verse 4, the destruction of fortresses that are inside of you. People, that's the part. I want you to think about this. Before we go any further tonight, if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression in your life, I want you to think about this. You do not fight the enemy. You do not fight the powers of darkness. we've already seen in Ephesians 6, stand still against the forces of darkness. Your part of the spiritual battle is inside of you. And I hope every person that experiences stress, anxiety, and depression will kind of let that sink in. Your part of the battle is inside of you, not outside of you. Many pastors and so on are concerned about the world. Many Christians want to change the world, want to fight the sin, the evils, and all of this thing, when the real problem, people, is inside of us. That's where the real problem is. It's inside of us. And so many Christians are trying to handle stress, anxiety, and depression. They want to change the outside. They want to change their husband, change their wife, change their parents, change their past. They want to change all of this. You can't do it. That's not the battle, people. The real battle is inside you. And here's the grace of God for you if you're experiencing stress and depression. While it is inside of you, it is still not your battle. And that's the good news for you. It still is not your battle. And I know I've kind of said one thing and then take it away. Our part of the battle is inside of us, but it's not even your battle there. It's God's battle. And that's what we've been seeing. God in His grace and in His love has given you the divine power, verse 4, has given you the divine power to fight what's going on inside of you, and that's the Holy Spirit. So, now we have these fortresses, and we've spent some time on that. Now let's move into our study to the next verse and take a look at what these fortresses are. In verse 5, we have the definition of what these fortresses are. Let's take a look. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations or arguments and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, that is, opposed to the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, let's take a look at the first part. Destroying speculations and every lofty thing. Doesn't that sound nice? That just sounds so nice. Speculations and every lofty thing. Now, a description like that could hardly cause stress, anxiety, and depression. That doesn't tell us hardly anything. If you just take those English words, as a translation of the Greek here, speculations, verse 5, speculations, and every lofty thing. Be one of those kind of things. All right, everybody tell what you think a speculation and a lofty thing is. Well, I think a lofty thing is a beautiful woman. I mean, how are you going to argue with that? I think a lofty thing is this, or a lofty thing is that. So, we need to find out what these are. How y'all doing tonight? Good. Pam, is he going to blame it to your fault again? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Verse 5 now. We've moved to verse 5. We're fast. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Okay. Know this, people. The description given to you in the New American Standard, speculations and every lofty thing, this is a description of why it is so difficult for you to stay in FM, to stay in the faith mindset. Now, this falls back a little bit when we studied the two mindsets, AM and FM. AM was the Adamic mindset from our Adamic nature in Adam, the flesh. And FM is our faith mindset, our trust in Him. And I've got a lot of questions. I was in Arkansas, and I want to go back to that study and fill in some questions in regard to that. But one of the things dealt with is, okay, all of that's nice, but how do you stay there? How do you stay in faith mindset? It's just so difficult. To stay there, you want to get back into AM or the Adamic nature, the Adamic mindset. People, right here, what this If you'll look at this, if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, right here is a description of why it is so difficult for you to stay on FM, on the faith mindset, on just trusting Him. This is why you experience stress, anxiety, and depression. This is why it seems involuntary, what we've got right here in front of us. You try to stay on faith. You desire to stay on FM, the faith mindset, but pow, you're right back into AM. And it just seems involuntary. And then all of a sudden, stress and depression in your life. Okay, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. These words in the Greek define the fortresses. What are those fortresses? Okay, here's it. We are destroying. Destruction of fortresses. We are destroyed. Let's look at that very quickly. We are destroying. Now, what I want you to know here is the present participle, and I don't belabor you a great deal anymore with the Greek, but every now and then it is important, and you have to appreciate it. This is the present active participle of the Greek word kathaireo. Kathaireo. I won't write it on the board. There's nothing in the word itself that is dramatic. Kathaireo, it's a compound. The verb, what you do want to know about this verb is that it means to demolish. It means to cast down, to put or take down or take away. What is important for us is the present participle. And I want to spend a minute, because I think this is important to people who experience stress, anxiety, and depression, is this present participle. Present tense and a participle. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that a moment. Present participle tells you something very important if you're experiencing stress and depression when you listen to these tapes, or if you're here tonight listening, and that's this. Getting rid of SAD, getting rid of these fortresses that are in your soul, is not going to be done overnight. It's not going to be done overnight. I'm sorry. You are not going to end the stress and the depression that's in your soul overnight. People, it's taken a long time to get you where you are, that you are so stressed out. It's taken an abusive home. Things happened to you in your childhood, your youth, the way you were reared and always told you're a loser and you never amount to anything and you always had to perform. And then you've been under Satan's lie of performance for so long. And then a marriage and then life. Preachers keep hammering at you. You're not going to tear all of this down overnight. So relax. Don't let anybody say, well, it's not happening fast enough. See, that's why a lot of people like drugs and alcohol. Because I can pop the pill, something happens instantly. I start feeling calm. I feel good. That's not solving the problem that's in your soul. It's not even touching these fortresses, people. I want to make that clear. It's not even touching the fortresses that are in your soul. It's circumventing them. But these fortresses remain. And that's why when that tablet wears off and when that alcohol wears off, you're right back where you were, if not worse. And you keep doing that. What we want to do is get down to the fortresses that are in the soul that cause us to have this stress and this depression that are in our soul. And the present participle says, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. I think this is very important, the present participle, to all Christians. There are Christians who think, well, once you become a Christian, it's almost an instant thing when you start living a righteous life. That's not true. That's one of the great evils of Lordship salvation. That all of a sudden your whole life changes. You made Him Lord. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not doing this. I must not be saved. I'm a failure. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell you this is going to happen overnight. The hope, Paul calls it a beautiful word in the Bible, the hope. The hope of righteousness. What does that mean? That means that we have the confidence that if I will just continue to walk by faith, directed toward the Holy Spirit, in our study, FM, the faith mindset, and if I will continue battling through the faith, the battle of faith, because you're going to miss it, you're going to stop, if you continue it, pretty soon you're going to start seeing things happen. First inside your very soul. And you might not even be the first one to be aware of it. It may be your husband. It may be your wife. It may be your children, your parents, somebody. Or start seeing things. You might even start being aware of it. And things start changing. And you see this first little part right there? Or let's go right here. When you first start seeing it, people, that's where you have hope. Wow. Look what God is doing inside of me. That gives us confidence to do what? Encouragement to do what? Keep walking. It does work. Walking by faith does work. And so we have this hope and this confidence. And we just keep walking. Present participle. This is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to destroy these fortresses, to bring them down, people. You spend a long time getting to why you're so depressed right now and why you're so stressed out right now. So don't expect this to be a pill that's going to pop or a bottle you're going to drink and it's all going to go away. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll change circumstances and that'll do it. No, because you continue taking the fortresses with you, people. You don't let the fortresses go. They're right there with you, wherever you go. The fortresses remain. That's what we want to attack. That's what we want to destroy and bring down, according to Scripture here. So, very important is the present participle. Now, what are these fortresses that we want to bring down inside of us, let the Holy Spirit bring down inside of us? Speculations and every lofty thing. Okay. This is so important, especially if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression. So important. The word speculations, logismos. Okay. Logos, logismos, L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. Logismos. You want to know that word? Logismos means the way we think. Logismos is the way you and I think about things. What do you think about? Somebody will come up to you, what do you think about the president wanting to go to war? What do you think about the price of things? What do you think about the condition of America? What do you think about? Well, logismos is the system of thought that we have. The word means to reckon. Not so much the way the old Texas cowboy, well, I reckon so. Well, you think it's going to rain? Well, I reckon. Got my knees flared up. Well, do you think the cattle's going to bring in good money? Well, I reckon so. No, it's not that kind. This is a reckon means in the intellectual world, a reckoning. You look at all the information and you come to a system of thought. It means to calculate. To calculate. I'm going to give you a lot of things this means. The Greek, it means, the Greek classics, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, all of these. This word means arguments. If you took a class, one of the most difficult classes I've taken in all my education was in college, a class called logic. And it was everything but logic as far as I was concerned, if you've ever had a logic course. But in the classic Greek, this meant arguments. Your arguments for something. Now stay with me, because right now you're going to learn what the concept of all these fortresses. Where we're going to go is we're going to study various fortresses that are in our souls. There's a lot of them. But they all carry the fundamental thing I want you to see here. So the Greek classics, and I'm going to put it on the board because I want you to think about it and be sure you have it in your notes. On tapes here, we write it down, or here, so that you can work through what is a fortress that's in my soul that the Holy Spirit needs to tear down, and I need to let Him tear down. Okay, the word means consideration and reflection. Now, people, this fits so perfectly. You think I'm making up this definition. I'm not making it up. This is a definition, classical Greek. This is an understanding of what this word means in the Bible. It doesn't change from the classical to the Bible. It is consideration and reflection. And stay with the word reflection for a moment without my even going any further and tell you what it does. What's a reflection? I reflect on why I was abused as a child. I reflect back on why this happened to me and why that happened to me. And I start drawing some concepts of thinking now. And this is very important, what's happening in our soul. Consideration, reflection, preceding. This is important. This is not mine. Preceding, and determining action. What you do in your life. How you handle a circumstance, a problem, a situation in your marriage, in your business, in your life. So let's think about a fortress. What is a fortress? A fortress, and we've already studied the word fortress, it's this edifice that is built inside of our souls. It's immaterial, but it's an edifice that protects the flesh thinking. And now we want to, and what are they? They are speculations. What is a speculation? Logismos. A speculation is a consideration. That's my consideration. And reflection. So I'm going to put all of these things together. Start reflecting. Remember a very important thing that we've seen that is so important to these children and to all of us that experience stress, anxiety, and depression from things, that experience what's been happening in the Roman church with all these little boys and preachers, Protestant preachers, well, they're ruined for life. No, they're not, people. They're not ruined for life. We don't have that kind of God. Don't ever fall for that. But what is important here is their reflection of it and their consideration of it. As they start building inside of their soul a fortress of thought, I deserve this. Somehow it was my fault. This is always going to happen to me. Nothing good ever happens to me. I don't deserve to be loved by God. I deserve to be punished by God. What is all of that kind of thing that we've been studying now for months? It comes right here from these fortresses. It's a consideration and a reflection. Preceding, determining, action. And I would like to put thought. Remember, thought precedes stress, anxiety, and depression. You choose to be depressed. Depression is not something that involuntarily happens. We choose to be it. Right here you're seeing part of why it seems as though it's involuntary. And that's why a lot of people like to fight for it, because fight that it is involuntary. But it isn't. But it seems it is. Why? Because we have fortresses in our soul that are made up of consideration and reflecting, preceding and determining. They precede our thought and action, and they determine our thought and action. Green, hello. Ma'am, your son, or sir, your son has just been killed on the highway. What is going to determine how that man or woman is going to handle what's just happened in their life? That's what we're dealing with right here. So, the first thing that comes out, blame. I told you not to let him go. I told you not to give him the key to the car. I told you. That type of thing. Immediate attack. Blame. It's always happened. I just can't handle it and go into the room and fall apart. Where does all of that come from? Involuntary? No. It's preceded and determined. That's action. It's preceded and determined by consideration and reflection. But the way I think about myself and the way I think about life. Okay, let's go on. We'll come back to that, but let's move on. These fortresses, this is very important, these fortresses that are inside of your soul that cause stress, anxiety, and depression, that protect what causes stress, anxiety, and depression, and what determines stress, anxiety, and depression in your life, these fortresses have a direct link with your will and your intellect. With your will, your intellect, and therefore your emotions. We cannot leave the emotions out of all of this, because that's what falls apart often. Why does it fall apart? Because people, I want you to understand, these fortresses are related to your emotions. They are related to your will. See, what does this mean? Preceding and determining action. That's your will. They're linked. These fortresses that are built inside of it have a direct link with the will. Our intellect. What's our intellect? Consideration and reflection. thought process. Oh, we've got to pray them down. They're so destructive inside of us. So destructive. Wrapped up in these fortresses. Continuing. Wrapped up in these fortresses is all that you are in the flesh. And we studied the big five to lay the foundation, continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, full of evil, and insane. Now let me repeat what I just said now that you got that. Wrapped up in these fortresses. And by that I mean protected behind the walls of these edifices in your soul is all that you are in the flesh. They are there to protect your flesh nature. They belong to the spirit of man in opposition to the spirit of God. Now at this point, I should move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where there is a wonderful discussion about the spirit of man and the Holy Spirit and the spirit that is in us and these type of things. And we will have to do that in this study, but not tonight. I have one thing I want to give to people who hurt in the flow of our study, and we've got to finish that tonight. And that other study in 1 Corinthians 2 is another study. But you just have to accept it for me right now that inside of these fortresses is all that you are in the flesh. They belong to the spirit of man in opposition to the spirit of God. And by that I mean opposing who you are in Christ, people. That's who you really are. And if we can tear down these fortresses, we can live who we are in Christ. If we can tear down, if we can learn how to let the Holy Spirit tear these things down, guess what happens? They do not come up and start influencing your action and your thought and your reflection. We're going to start doing what? We're going to start considering what God has done for us. We're going to start considering who we are in Christ. We're going to start reflecting on what happened to us at the cross. We're going to start reflecting on what God does for us and in us. And guess what is going to happen? That's going to precede and determine action in God. Who I am in Christ. How am I going to reflect on anything that happens in life? Who I am in Christ. God's in control. I start thinking things differently now. Not who I am in the flesh, but who I am in Christ. These things are going to start changing now. This is powerful. This is, to me, this is an extremely important lesson in our studies. Not that they all aren't, but I think some of them, we have to make a stepping stone to get to things like this. And this, to me, is just a very important part. There are forces inside of you, strongholds inside of you, and out of these come these considerations, and they precede what you do, how you react, how you handle a situation in life. They determine what you do, what you say. Now, do you understand why I say this is why stress, anxiety, and depression seems to be involuntary? I hope that makes sense to you now. It seems like it is. It isn't. We choose to be. But doggone it, it sure seems like it's involuntary. Why would I want to make myself depressed, stressed out, and all those anxiety? Because I put this back into control. They come from these fortresses. They just, boom, come right out. Well, what we're going to do is tear these down, and we're going to replace them with the reflections and considerations that God has told us. And the more that we can tear down these fortresses, people, listen to me now, the more you will allow the Spirit to tear these down, you're going to see stress, anxiety, and depression drift into the shadows. And you're going to see the way you handle situations completely change in the way you used to. Because those fortresses are gone. You don't consider it the same way anymore. You don't reflect on it the same way as you did before. It's not because the whole world is against you and everybody's been bullying you. Your parents have bullied you. The teachers have bullied you. The preachers bullied you. Everybody's bullied you. Everybody's controlled you. You're not going to see it that way anymore. That's why people all of a sudden, it just do weird things. You're in a parking lot and somebody pulls into the space that you were going into. And every now and then we read, they just flip out. That's it. Boy, they just take their car, ram right into the car that pulled in front of them and just keep ramming it and all of this. What snapped? I'm not going to let this happen to me anymore. This has happened to me all my life, and I'm not going to let it happen anymore. People have always done that to me, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do and taking what's mine and on, but all this has been building up in these fortresses. What we want to do is tear them down. People live such horrible lives, stressed out and depressed, day in and day out, just depressed. Why am I so depressed? Why am I so depressed? It's coming from the fortresses, the speculation, the considerations, reflections, preceding and determining action, and what we want to do is tear them down. So this is what we're doing. We're destroying these speculations that are built up in our soul over a long period of time. Again, this is why sad, stress, anxiety, and depression seems involuntary. But in truth, there are thoughts, listen now, there are thoughts that precede and emerge from inside you from the speculations that Paul is talking about here. We studied our flesh nature. We studied the big five of the flesh nature. We studied what God did to the flesh nature. Please, I'm going to repeat it again. God is not going to make you a better person. God is not in the business of making you a better person. What he did with our flesh nature, he crucified it at the cross, and he raised us up, a new creation in Christ. That's what he did for us. But people, please understand, when you go back into the flesh, this is what is waiting for you. These fortresses are just waiting for you. These speculations, these reflections are all there waiting to protect your flesh nature. This is what is waiting for you, to pull you back into the flesh and keep you there and keep you from going to FM, to the faith mindset. It is the very nature that our inner arguments, the way we view life and the way we view ourselves, these are the womb out of which flow all of our actions. The mind and the will determine the conduct. Remember what we studied? Whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. What determines what we think? Well, we're looking at these speculations. I just grew up and I view the whole world this way. I'm never going to get a good deal. I don't deserve it. Or the world is just no good and I'm going to take it on and fight it. All kinds of things that we start doing in our life that just keep us stressed and depressed. And it seems like it's circumstances. It seems like it's people. But it's coming from inside of us. Your thoughts, attitudes, are the result of your presuppositions, and these come from your philosophy of things. Let me repeat that. Your thoughts, attitudes, remember, whatsoever man thinketh, so he is, and thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. So your thoughts, your attitudes, are the result of your presuppositions, and these come from your philosophy of things. This is true of all men. This is a fundamental truth of all mankind. Your thoughts, attitudes are the results of your presuppositions, and your presuppositions come from your philosophy of things. Now, you hurt so much, you hurt in your soul so much to think through what I just said, and I know that. Tonight, one of our ladies, Tish, was saying, she was in a court thing and the judge read the charges and what did he read? I didn't even understand. Would you do that again in English? If you're hurting with stress, anxiety, and depression, you don't even know what I just said. And I got better news for you for myself. You don't even care what I just said. It doesn't make sense. Let me put it in words you can't understand then. What I just said is for people who want to sit and think this thing through. But I understand if you're hurting tonight and you're crying, and there are people who do that when they listen. So let's make this simple so you can see it even if you're hurting and depressed tonight when you're listening. What I've said is this. You start out with a view. So you start out with a view of God, you start out with a view of life, and you start out with a view of self. One that normally is a very common one that comes to man is Satan's lie. Satan's lie. You just start out with this idea that my self-worth is my performance, plus others' opinion of me. See, that's a philosophy. That's a thought process. And from that are going to come presuppositions. And from these are going to come your thoughts and attitudes. Let's give you another one. We have Satan's lies, one. Another one that's fundamental to Christians, and this series is for Christians only, is from the book of Job and from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3, where the disciples were with the Lord. It came upon a man who was blind from birth, and the disciples said, "Ah, who sinned? Who sinned? Did the man sin? Or was it his parents?" See, what was their presupposition to help you understand what we're saying here? What was their presupposition? What was their philosophy, their view of life? If you are in bad circumstances, somebody's done something bad. That's the presupposition. So that no matter what I see in life, if another Christian is suffering, a la Job, and I'm one of his three friends, and I have a presupposition about life, a philosophy about life is this: bad things, have you been bad? If you've not been bad, this would not have happened. See, that's a fundamental hidden. Because a lot of Christians know better. But it's there, it's hidden. And we have to fight for it. Sometimes we have to fight it off. Something happens to one of our friends or to somebody, our first thing is, they deserve it. I know they sinned and they deserve it. And we go, no, doggone it. I know that's not right. That was taken care of at the cross of Christ. But see, that's a presupposition. That's a philosophy. That's a speculation that I got built up inside of me. We want to tear that down. And it's not going to come down easy. Job's three friends had a philosophy of life. Bad things, if you're bad, bad things. If you're good, good things. And I've dealt with this many times in our study. I don't know if I've done it in the stress, anxiety, and depression series, but to solve that issue, let's look at it just for a moment. The fundamental philosophy, now Satan's lie is very big, and I'll come back to that. But a fundamental philosophy is that if you are bad, then bad things happen to you. If you are good, good things happen to you. Okay, let's put on good things. Good things happen to you. All right, let's see how this works. Let's see if this is a true philosophy, view of life that's going to hold up. Let's see if it holds up. Okay? Let's see if Job's three friends, they had this philosophy. The disciples of our Savior had this philosophy when they came across a man blind from birth who sinned. Him or his parents. Now, the poor guy's blind from birth. What did he do in the womb? I mean, this guy, it's to say that, well, this man must have sinned, that's why he's blind from birth. Whoa! Now, if he was turned blind, it's 10, well, we could talk about it. That's giving 10 years to do something. Maybe 7. I accepted Christ at 7, and boy, the reason I accepted Christ is because I didn't want to burn in hell, and I screamed and cried, I didn't want to burn in hell. I don't know what I thought I'd done that was so bad, but boy, I was scared to death of it. So, whatever. Fundamental philosophy. You've done bad, you're going to get bad. You've done good, you're going to get good. Okay. Now, let's talk about this. Let's take the word good. Good is incorrect in Greek. So, who in all of history was goodness personified? What human being in all human history was goodness personified? Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus is good above all things. In his human life, what happened to him? Bad. I mean, as we do agree, the cross is bad. That's not a good way to check out. There are better ways. Okay. So, we'll put bad. The cross. Well, now, wait a minute. This isn't working out. The most righteous, wonderful, moral person on earth has bad things. Let's see about the other one. Let's look at bad. Let's look at bad. You know what? We could take bad and we could lump a lot of people in bad. So who could we lump under? Who's bad? The human race. The human race. The human race is bad. Desperately wicked. desperately wicked, evil. I said, well, hey, what are we? Insane, full of evil, deceitful above all else? What do you think? We're bad. Now, so this is bad, the human race. But wait a minute, so we'll put the human race bad. What happens to us at the cross? Good. Wait a minute, this isn't supposed to work this way. My philosophy of life is, if you're good, good things, if you're bad, bad things. And then I start looking at this, Jesus is good and bad things happen to him. Bad people have good things happen to him at the cross. This doesn't make sense. So what are we going to do with your philosophy? We're going to tear it down. We're going to tear down that fortress. We're going to rid that in your soul of your own self. And while you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, we're going to tear it down. Now, let's go one more step and then I'll move on from this. You accept Christ as Savior, so you've gone from bad to good things happen at the cross. Now, let's just say you walk in the Spirit, walk by faith, and you start living a righteous life in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We could call that good, can't we? It's kind of good. Now, we know from the Gospel of John and from nearly all of the Bible that if a person is walking by faith, glorifying God, what's going to happen to him in this world? Bad things. Well, people, they just keep down my whole philosophy. I told you I mentioned logic at the college level and just reflecting on it. That's what the class did. We spent a whole semester, he just shot down all of the philosophies and the way we thought. And by the time, and it was his view. By the time we got through, his view was to have taken us where we just didn't dare think. And that was sort of like where he was going to end. Don't think at all. So we've taken this and destroyed it. We've done the same thing with Satan's lies. We're destroying these fortresses that are in our souls, and we want to tear them down. And that's what we want to do. So let's continue. So we're going to see in the fundamental philosophy of life, that we have an ideology, a philosophy that, and the more you heard, you can understand this. You've got a way that you think about things and the way that you interpret things in your philosophy, in your view of life. Why? Let's just talk about it a minute. From your philosophy, you hear, you're on tape, in your view of life, in your philosophy, your view of God, your view of everything, why did this happen? And I'm talking about the Roman Catholic thing because it's so public news, and I'm not attacking the Roman Catholic Church. I'm just using it because it's so public, and it is so dastardly. So, what is your view? Don't know an answer here. You have to think through it yourself. What's your view on why this happened? Why did God allow a little boy, totally innocent of anything? Why would God allow a little girl to be raped? By someone close, maybe even a parent, God forbid. What's my view about that? Is my view they deserved it? Is my view they must have done something? They must have done something. Is my view something about God? Is it something about man? What's my view? What's my philosophy on this? What's my philosophy on what's going to happen to them the rest of their life? What's my view about when anyone has trouble in life and things happen to them? Bad things happen. Bad things happen to bad people. That's all there is to it. That's your philosophy. That's a view. If you do bad, you're going to get it. That's just it. That's a view. That's a philosophy. Is that why you're in stress, anxiety, and depression? Because you deserve it. You've done something. So you deserve what's happening in your life, and you're just stuck with depression. You're damned with it, and nobody's going to change it because that's the way it is. That's your view. That's your philosophy. We're going to tear that fortress down. We're going to tear it down, and we're going to rebuild it with what God says. So we could spend some time on Satan's lie here. I want to move on. Okay, so something happens in your life. Something bad happens in your life. You conclude that things happen in reference to whatever your philosophy is. For an example, Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance, and I'm not performing. Or I am performing, but people aren't recognizing it. Or I'm performing, and this is not right. And so you relate everything by your performance. Because after all, isn't that what it's all about, is our performance in life? Now, that's self-performance. I know you don't know that, but I know that. That's self-performance. And this is that self-thing. Okay. Your performance. It's got to be that way. That's just the way of man. People, I'm trying to show you these are fundamental to man. It is fundamental to mankind to think in terms, yes, it's got to be my performance to some level. It's got to be me. Others' opinion of me. And that's very important in life. And that's why some people rebel against other people. I just don't care what people think about me. Yes, you do. Like the more somebody says that, you can bet the more they care. You can bet on it. I just don't care what people think about me. Oh, boy. Somebody's controlling you by their opinion of you, and you hate it. And so you rebel. You protest too much, Shakespeare said. But, Satan's lie just builds a fortress in our soul, and we're going to have to destroy it. And so many Christians worship Satan's lie. They worship it as a spiritual truth. There are preachers who preach Satan's lie as a spiritual truth. Your performance and others' opinion of you is what is vital in your Christian life. And they will preach it. And that's why I told you. And I'm going to tell you right now what one of the strongest fortresses in the soul is. We're going to study a list of them. But I'll tell you right now, I shouldn't because it kind of breaks the getting to it, but one of the strongest fortresses in the soul of Christians is the fortress of false doctrine, false teaching that destroys more people, causes more stress, more depression. And it is a powerful fortress. And I'll tell you right now, it's one of the most powerful fortresses, most difficult to destroy. A lot of the other fortresses are easier to destroy than the fortress of false doctrine that you have in your soul. And we're going to have to take a look at that and find out what we mean by that. So please admit, confess, acknowledge, thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression, and it is the arguments of these strongholds that produce the stress, anxiety, and depression. You are stressed, depressed tonight because of some stronghold in your thought process. The way you think, calculate, determine what is going on in your life, it is up to you. If you want to continue in sad, or do you want to tear down the fortresses that cause it? We're looking at one of the most powerful verses in dealing with why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, I want to tell you something, people. No pill is going to get here. No alcohol is going to get here. And it isn't going to be done overnight. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, and I would hope that you're around Christians who will encourage you, not Job's three friends. Are always judging you and condemning you and putting you down. I hope you're around Christians who will encourage and not judge. But even if you're not, you can tear down these fortresses. You can allow the Spirit to tear down these fortresses. The great news, the good news, the gospel news is you don't have to tear them down. I repeat that. What's the gospel news? What's the gospel mean? The word gospel means good. Good news. Let's put it on the board. The gospel, and when I put the gospel news, I'm actually being redundant because gospel means good news, but you get the idea. Gospel news is that you don't have to tear them down. You don't have to do this. You do not have to tear down the fortresses in your soul. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something you can't. You can do a lot of stuff through human psychology, therapy, yoga, exercise, all the stuff, a lot of stuff that the world offers. You can't tear them down. But you don't have to. That's the good news of the gospel. God will do it for you. God will do it for you if you let Him. Question. Pivotal question. This is a question of the night. And I'm going to put it in first person. Can I trust God? Can I trust God to tear down these fortresses, these strongholds in my soul. That's what he meant to. People, this question is asked in every way in your life. Can I trust God to guide me? Can I? And that, there are books written on it. Can I trust God to guide me in my daily life? Or do I have to do something? Or can I just trust Him? Supernaturally, guide me. And you have to answer that. Nobody can answer that for you but you. Can I truly trust God? Supernaturally, independent. And I'm going to make this strong because I know the Holy Spirit uses biblical truth. I'm not stupid. But apart from a massive amount of doctrine, can I trust God to guide me? Okay, it's questions like that that I'm dealing with here. Can I trust God to tear down these strongholds, these fortresses that are in my soul? Can I just trust Him to do that? See, some people say, no, you cannot trust God to do that. You've got to do your part. You've got to be in Bible class, and you've got to learn X amount of Bible doctrine. And the point that you don't have them done, that's because you haven't learned enough doctrine. You've got to learn more doctrine. People have to work. That's the work. You have to do your part. You have to start committing your life. You start to changing your life. You've got to start doing this and not doing that and all of this type of thing. People, I'm asking a simple question. Can you trust God to tear down these invisible fortresses that are so powerful inside of your soul? The argument, the speculation of the flesh is no, you cannot. And this is an argument raised up against the true knowledge of God. Look what our passage says. If you still have your Bibles open, raised up by what? Against the knowledge of God. Well, we're dealing with the knowledge of God right here. Can I trust God to tear down these fortresses that are in my soul that have caused me to be stressed and depressed all my life? Can I trust Him? Okay, I got a question for you. And answer that. Can I trust God to save me eternally? And all I do is trust Him. If you're a Christian, you know the answer to that, yes. I just trust Him and He saved me eternally. So now I'm asking you a question. Can you trust God here? Can you trust God to tear down the fortresses of your soul? It's up to you. I'm here to tell you that absolutely, and this is the only way they're going to be torn down. It's just like Salvation 1. The only way you're going to be eternally saved is trusting Him. Period. And now the only way that you're going to tear down these fortresses or have these fortresses torn down inside of your soul, trust Him. He will do it. That's what kind of God we have. So you can trust Him. And where did you learn that? You learned that at the cross. You learned that at the cross. I can trust Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing, people? Isn't that a wonderful thing to tell someone that all you have to do is trust the one God sent, trust Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved forever. All you have to do is trust Him to tear down these strongholds in your soul, and He'll do it. I know if you're suffering tonight, you're thinking, it can't be that easy. Man, I've gone to some, I've paid some pretty big psychiatrists, psychologists. I've paid some pretty big money for some tablets and pills and drugs that they've came up with now. Big, long names. It cannot be so simple as just to trust Him. Let's go to my question. Can I trust God to save me eternally? There are a lot of people who say it can't be that easy. Boy, I've been going to church for 50 years. I've been giving money. I've been serving God. I've been refraining from sin. I've been doing all these things. And you come along and tell me all I didn't do it and all I got to do is trust Him? Boy, if you're right, I'm going to be mad. If you're right, I'm going to be really mad. I like that when I hear that. It means they're understanding what I'm saying. And you have to decide, can I be saved eternally by just simple faith? And if you can say yes to that, then people, I hope you can see why you can say yes. I can trust God and God will do this. That'll do what I can't do. That's the divine power that he's given me. That's the divine power. Look at the previous verse, verse 4. Verse 4, what's verse 4 say? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Now, our weapons are divinely powerful. That's the Holy Spirit. We studied how that flows through Galatians. And what is it for? This divine power, these weapons of God, the Holy Spirit, for the destroying of speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the true knowledge of God. Correct understanding of who and what God is. Well, if it's that easy, boy, I've really wasted a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of tears. Well, not really. I've got you to where tonight. Hopefully along the way you'll just start saying, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I tried Dr. So-and-so, and I tried the bartender so-and-so, and I tried this, and I tried that. I'm going to give God a shot. If you decide to do that, let me tell you this. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. That's what I was talking about earlier, that present participle. But in a short time, you're going to start seeing a change inside as God starts to work. As God starts to do things inside of us, you'll start seeing it. And then pretty soon, you'll start seeing stress have less control over you. You'll start seeing anxiety and depression have less control over you. And you're going to know the most wonderful news you'll ever know. I really can trust Him. I really can trust God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, our study tonight has taken us to the wonders that you are. If we would just keep the message we learned at the cross, all you're looking for is a rare breed of creation that will just trust you. Not have to perform for you. Not have to perform for each other. You will give us all our self-worth. You will clear out the fortresses in our soul, and you will put in their place fortresses of joy and happiness and peace. The beautiful word for those who suffer stress and depression is the fortress of peace. Tranquility, contentment. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. My prayer in closing, Father, is that those who hurt will get these tapes and start to understand how simple it is and how easy it is and how cheap it is, how expensive it is to rid your life of stress and depression and not cost you a dime. Just trust you. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.